T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Jason Barsky Show.
I want to welcome to the show Dr. Dahlia Wax. I want to make sure I pronounced your first name right. I know I got the last name right, Doctor.
Yes. Perfect, Jason. Hi. Yeah, Dr. Dahlia. Absolutely.
Dr. Dahlia, you're heard all over the place. You do radio interviews. You have your own radio show. I'm pretty sure you're on sitcoms. You're everywhere. You were on Pawn Stars at one point, correct?
Yes.
Selling medical equipment.
I go where they'll take me.
Oh, well, and that's about the standard I have here. If you're willing to come on, I'm willing to have you. And I hear you are wonderful to speak to about all sorts of things medically related. Just to give a little bit of your background, I'll make sure I get this correctly. I want to make sure you get this right. You were an entertainer for years, correct? And then decided I have a choice. Like, you had a crossroads. You decided I could do medicine or I could do comedy and singing. And you chose medicine, and the world's a better place because of it.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, I was a little bit into entertainment, but I had a face for radio. So, you know, I didn't go too far. But yeah, so I went to medical school, got my MD at the University of Nevada, Reno, did some training at UCLA, training back in Las Vegas, and opened up my practice, but then got into radio in 2009 and became syndicated. And I've been basically a medical correspondent and, still a family physician since then.
So you can be heard around the country in different places in different ways, and also you can go get your yearly physical from Dr. Dahlia Wax. This is incredible. You're in Vegas.
Yes, so to speak. Yes.
you're in Vegas. That's where your practice is, correct?
Yes. Well, I don't necessarily have a brick and mortar practice. I do telemedicine
now, wow.
And because of my media career, it's hard to be staffed at a one particular clinic. So I do telemedicine in between all the media work I do.
Now, I wanted to talk a little coronavirus with you. Is it safe to say though that it's still too early to know for sure that the information we're about to share here is 100% accurate?
Yeah, I mean, the big problem we have, the big obstacle we have, is I don't think we're getting the full story from a lot of these countries. You know, when you have North Korea say, oh, we don't have any cases, and, you know, you have countries trying to minimize, they're scared to death of what's happening right now in China, we could assume that the data we're getting is not 100%, and that's what makes this a little bit more difficult to prepare for.
Okay, so would you say it's okay to be scared of this or just be cautious? Because here's the thing. Somehow medicine and viruses and potential pandemics has turned into a political thing where people are politically siding either for or against this thing. And it's a weird, like, it's like, well, that's of course the Dems. I heard someone, what did they say? They said that this was created by the Dems or fun. Like, I don't know what's happening here. And I understand it's fun to pick sides. But when we're talking about something that's going to affect us regardless of our political affiliation, where do you think, from what you've read, from what you've studied, how nervous, how cautious should people be?
You're absolutely right. That's a fantastic question. And this is kind of illustrated by the fact that the World Health Organization will not call this a pandemic yet. And people are scratching their heads going, you have over 80,000 cases, 2,700 deaths. We know this is a killer virus. Why won't you call it a pandemic? Well, because the World Health Organization does not want us to panic. True, the virus is in multiple countries. But once you call something a pandemic, that means you're going to give up on trying to just quarantine isolated cases and just try to mitigate and slow down the spread. That's not what we want to do at this stage. What we want to do at this stage is isolate it, find it, make a vaccine, prevent it from spreading, help people heal, and attack it like we would any other disease, diabetes or cancer, et cetera. But once you kind of throw in the towel going, oh, this is a pandemic, we're all going to die, you start to have laxity in control measures. And people will be like, well, you know, we might as well have sex if we're going to, you know, die in a month, and then they're going to spread it. You know, and so we do need to calm the fear. But is this a killer virus? It is. This is very scary. The problem is you know, we're right now in the midst of a flu epidemic that's killing even more. So I kind of agree. We don't want people to panic, but we do need people to take this seriously and realize that this could be something, and we should be prepared. You know, we should have the right types of masks. We should already have a plan on what we're going to do with schools. Are we going to maybe do more online schooling? What are we going to do for public transportation? Because if it does get here, we need to have a systematic approach and be ready.
Now, I jokingly said this to my wife. Well, it started as a joke. It was earlier this week, I saw that in Italy, there's like 10 villages. And they said they've shut down access to this. It's quarantined. They're isolating themselves from the rest of the country. And I said to my wife, I go, maybe we should go get canned goods. Now, should we load up our basement? Is that absurd? Or is that something people should just do anyway? I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy. I typically tell people, if you told me you had a bomb shelter, I'd think you were crazy. But I also have little kids to worry about.
Amen. No, absolutely not. The big problem, and I talk about this on my show, is are we prepared enough? Do people have food and water for a month if they need to? I mean, look at what's going on in China right now. I mean, they have factories closed, markets are empty and completely evacuated, stores shuttered, and, you know, here we are relying on our internet and our Wi-Fi. I was speaking to my husband about this, just as you were speaking to your wife about that, saying, you know, all somebody has to do is kind of mess with the Wi-Fi, and we're all screwed. All our, you know, passwords and contacts are on our computer, and I think we're very unprepared. I think we should have paper records of phone numbers and important information. I think we should have food. I think we should have water, and don't forget the pets. And because you just don't know if we're going to have an earthquake or another superstorm or something. So no, I think preparation is smart, and it shouldn't be looked at us as being fanatic. It should be commonplace. I mean, people in Israel are always expecting, you know, shells and things like that. That's just normal everyday living. We should, in our normal everyday lives, make sure that every couple weeks we change out the food in our emergency, you know, pantry or shelter or whatever.
I'm talking to Dr. Dahlia Wax out of Vegas. You're heard on a lot of different shows all across the country, and I understand you're very well versed in all things medicine. It's good because you're a doctor. I'm not well versed at many things in life.
Well, no, you are.
No, you're falling for some hype. That's not true. I don't know. I'm very well spoken on a lot of little unimportant things. Like if there's ever a pandemic about professional wrestling, boom, I'm your man. I'll be your expert. I'll come on your show. But here,
I need you on my show, please. I do.
Have you heard any details about how long this thing is alive on surfaces? This is one of the number one questions.
Right.
I get is, how long can this virus live on surfaces? How do the temperatures, hot and cold, affect the lifespan of the virus? And are we hurting ourselves by letting, you know, these ships bring in containers from China? Could we be inviting in this virus in these containers, or is it going to not survive the trip?
Such a fabulous question. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and they were guessing maybe 9 days. They don't know, you know, because similar viruses in the family can live 9 days on inanimate objects. In a human body, it takes about 2 weeks to incubate. So if I had it, let's say, and I said, hey, Jason, and I gave it to you, it would probably brood in your body anywhere from 2 days to 14 days before you start to feel symptoms. So that's kind of a long incubation period. And so, you know, are we at the point where we need to fear supplies coming in from China? I think there's more other concerns, you know, with things coming from China than coronavirus. But, you know, I doubt it would live past, you know, the airplane and lack of oxygen and, you know, the cold and the heat changes, you know, on planes and things like that. But it is a very valid scare, and we don't know. We don't know because, you know, we don't have people testing this. Or if people were testing it, nobody's coming forward and saying, saying, yeah, this was kind of in a lab and we've been studying this for a while.
When it comes to things like travel, like here's a tech, I mean, this is very personalized to one person, but I guess anyone planning spring or summer travel, should people be nervous at this point about booking trips? Someone said, should I cancel my trip to France in April? Now, Dr. Dolly Wax is the guest. We could have some fun and go, absolutely cancel your trip. And we made someone cancel a trip.
I know.
I wouldn't do that to you, though.
I'll take your ticket. Well, France, I think, is fine. I am kind of concerned about what's going to happen with the Olympics. I mean, remember what happened with Rio and Zika? You know, the Zika virus was outbreaking right before the Rio Olympics. I mean, we got the Tokyo Olympics this summer. And so, you know, Japan is kind of concerned. And I hear, you know, there's many sporting events and concert events in Japan and in Asia starting to, you know, cancel. I think with France, you'll probably be okay. But then again, there's no way to tell. And what I'm very, very frustrated by is, you know, they're going back and forth whether this was a bat or somebody ate a snake and, well, you know, and you know, how it got to the fish market. And if the rumors are true that this really did come from a nearby lab, you know, we need to know that. So we need to have an understanding of why this spread so quickly. It spread like wildfire in China. And so I would be hesitant to make new travel. I don't think I would cancel any travel to, you know, France or Disneyland Paris or Nice, wherever you're going. I'm so jealous. But in terms of Asia and, you know, Japan and the Olympics, I would be a little cautious.
Yeah, I wonder if they're even going to have the games with this thing, the way it's kind of rolling out.
Yep.
Okay, a couple text message questions have come in here, and this is a good one. I like to think I have the answers for this stuff. I don't. Are there certain types of masks people should go out and buy? Anything you would recommend? Because there's different types of masks for different things. What type of mask would be perfect if people want to stay healthy and avoid this?
That's a good question. Okay, so what experts are saying is most of these masks are absolutely worthless. The N95 respirator would probably be the most effective, but it's not 100% by any means.
What was that one again?
People wear them wrong. Oh, I'm sorry.
What was that one again? What mask?
The N95 respirator.
Gotcha, N95 respirator. Got it.
Yeah, so it's not like the little simple ones that you see a lot of people putting on their cats and dogs, right? There's pictures of people putting them in their cats and dogs in Asia. I mean, they're pretty thick masks. The problem is you can pick this up by touching your eye. I mean, if you touch a door handle and wipe your eye, you can get this coronavirus. And so the reason why nobody's telling people to go out and get masks is because we aren't convinced that they're effective. And there's been a shortage of masks, the wrong ones, because people went out and got scared and went to buy them. You know, I like the small amount of protection these N95 respirators could offer, but when the poop hits the fan, you know, you're going to have to keep changing them out. If you spit when you talk and get them wet, they're useless. So, I mean, you would have to, for each person, have hundreds if you're going to be using them every day. It's not very practical. So nobody's really recommending to run out and get masks.
Yeah, I saw a guy getting gas this morning. And he went into prepay at the gas station. And I'm not trying to embarrass this guy, but odds are he's not listening, okay? But he opened the door with his sleeve. He put his sleeve over his hand and opened the door. And then I see him walk in, and then he wipes his nose with his sleeve. What are you doing? Like,
right, I know.
Either use something to cover your hand. Just don't be stupid about it.
Exactly. You know, and they also were discussing how this may be also transmitted by oral fecal route, where somebody's, you know, poop or diarrhea could also spread it. So the mask might not be our only form of protection. I think we'll have to, like, not touch other people's poop like we, I guess, do commonly. I don't know.
Well, there goes everyone's weekend plans here in Northeast PA. Our secret's out. She knew. No, that's horrible. I didn't want to think about that. Multiple texts. This is interesting. Can animals get this from what you understand? Can you make your dog sick? Can your dog get sick and then give it to you? I haven't heard anything about that.
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know how there's a dog flu and then there's a human flu, but those don't jump from each other. This coronavirus is a part of a family where animals had it first. And so we believe animals gave it to us humans. We don't necessarily think we humans can give it back to animals. But the thing is as much as we kiss and cuddle our animal, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this virus could mutate and then, you know, jump to our pets. But right now we think overall the dogs and cats, they might get it it on their own, but we don't think there's a human to dog to cat transmission. And I think goldfish are pretty safe.
I mean, they're going to die anyway. They're already on borrowed time.
Exactly.
They come on borrowed
time. 5 days, right.
One last question. What, someone who's studied this, who's followed these, whether it's SARS back in the day or just you mentioned Zika before, what can the government do? What you as a physician, what do you hope to see the government do to help in this situation?
This is a good question, yes, because, you know, I think we do have more cases than 57 cases in coronavirus, but people are so scared to death of being quarantined. So I think you have a lot of mild cases going on, similarly around flu season, and nobody wants to say anything because they're scared to death of the way the quarantines are being done. And people don't want to be put in a position where they're around other sick people and then they get sick. So I think the government needs to set up a much, much better isolation chambers and quarantine chambers such that you're not on a cruise ship like Japan did, where there was only one person not feeling well, and now you have 600-700 people sick. So I think they need to do that. I think they also need to mass produce these coronavirus tests. At the airports, testing to see if somebody has a fever is completely inadequate, especially since somebody can pop a couple Tylenol before they, you know, get to the airport. So they need to mass produce these coronavirus screening tests so people could be screened at the airport, screened very easily. And I think the government needs to do a better job on that.
And I know we're out of time here. The last question I have for you is this. For the most part, everything I've read, and see if you can verify this or dispel what you're hearing here, is it people who are healthy? I'm fairly healthy. I don't have any other underlying conditions. People who are healthy probably could get this, not even realize it's anything more than a bad cold. Is it exactly more lethal for people who have other conditions? Is that who's really at risk if this thing spreads like, you know, wildfire?
Yes, yes. Since China has not told us exactly the makeup of all these people who died, these 2,700 people that have died, we can assume that it's more the vulnerable people, people who had respiratory illnesses, maybe diabetes, cancer, etc. It doesn't seem to be affecting young kids. It doesn't seem to be affecting healthy people, but we don't know that because nobody is sharing that information. So I'm just being cautiously optimistic that it's, you know, not something that could affect everybody, that it can be mild in many. But right now we're assuming it's just if you're more vulnerable, well, you know, and sick.
I'd love to have you back at some point, unless we all die. I'm spreading fear. I don't want to do that. Sorry. Dr. Dahlia Wax, I'd love to have you back again. I don't even need coffee. You have so much energy. I love it.
Can't wait. Absolutely, Jason. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good talking to you. We'll have to have you on again.
It's the Jason Barsky Show. WILK News Radio.
And radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.